In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, we hear the gospel of the parable of Zacchaeus from the chapter 19 of Luke's gospel. And when we hear this in the church, it should be a signal for us that Great Lent is approaching. This gospel is always appointed usually 1 or 2 weeks before we begin the Lenten Triodion, the Gospels that are associated with the time before Great Lent and during. So this year we have Zacchaeus today. Next Sunday, one more Gospel. We'll hear the 17th Gospel of Matthew, which is the Canaanite woman. And these two Gospels have something in common. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But I want to say two things about Zacchaeus today that are for our benefit. Zacchaeus, is a chief tax collector and rich, and we're to presume Jewish. And what's going on here, as we see, is he seeks to see who Jesus was, it says, but he could not on account of the crowd. Now, we may hear that and think, well, there were just too many people there, and him being of small stature can't see. You know, that's one way of understanding that. But there's another way of understanding that. And the fact that in Luke's gospel, the word that's always translated the crowd refers to a combination of people, you know, Jews and Gentiles. A lot of times just the Gentiles. They call them the crowds. The Jews are referred to as the people. So this man was prevented from seeing, if you think about it, prevented from seeing who Jesus was because of the Gentiles that were around him. You know, this may be something that's going on in his mind. Today we might call it, racism or ethnocentrism. I don't want to go around and find out what's going on because of those people, you know. I don't want to have anything to do with where they're gathering. Okay, so the fact that Gentiles were gathered around Jesus, and in this particular section of Luke they are, they're coming to him, they're hearing his word, and they're responding to it, a Jewish person feels, I don't want to get involved. So he was prevented from seeing who Jesus was. That's an interpretation. And this is confirmed a little bit more by this word sycamore tree. Father Paul Terezi, who's a biblical scholar and teaches at St. Vladimir's and all over the world, actually, thinks that the evangelist Luke made this term up. It doesn't appear anywhere else in the New Testament or the early writings. Made up this term sycamore to prove that point. It looks like it's a combination of two words in Hebrew, fig tree and foolishness. It's made up of two words that are equal to fig tree and foolishness. So if you think about it, fig tree is the symbol of Israel in the Bible, you know. The barren fig tree and the fig tree that Jesus cursed because it did not bear fruit as it should. This man is attempting to climb on his heritage, you know, and to be saved based on how he was born. He is a Jew. Okay, so things are looking pretty bad for Zacchaeus. Doesn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. You know, Gentiles were looked down upon. They weren't accepted, even in the early Christian church, as being one body with the church, Gentile converts. And then also, he thinks he can raise himself up by his Jewish stature. But we see what happens. And this is where it all turns around. Jesus finds him and calls him, right? Zacchaeus, come down and make haste, for I must stay at your house today. And I like how this is worded. It says, so he made haste and came down, right? The Lord said it, he did it. So he heard Jesus' voice and responded, received him joyfully. That's the perfect response that any of us, no matter what our station, no matter what our background, no matter where we came from, could have when we hear the voice of the Lord calling us. So despite his resistance, despite his reliance on his Jewish heritage, Zacchaeus becomes saved, as it says. And why is that? Because he responded to God. He stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. That's the good news in the gospel today, right? People can change. People can change. Despite what we're led to believe and what we experience in dealing with people, they definitely can change. If we don't believe they can, then we don't believe in salvation. It's possible. It's possible. And that's exactly what Zacchaeus does here. Zacchaeus is heeding the gospel that we heard a couple of weeks ago when Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Change. Change. For I am here, and the kingdom is being inaugurated with the presence of the King, Jesus. That's why the kingdom is here, because Jesus is with us. God is with us. So people can change. That's one thing we want to remember. Although it's difficult, although we don't often experience that in life. And I sometimes tell people, don't count on people changing. You know, don't set all your hope up that it's going to happen in a relationship, because oftentimes it doesn't. But the truth is, it can happen. And with God, all things are possible, even the things we think are impossible. And we believe that if we have any hope for salvation, it can and will happen. Not just to Zacchaeus, but to us as well. So we get this gospel today, and next Sunday's gospel, we mentioned the Canaanite woman. In both of these, we have a similar situation where somebody experienced some stumbling blocks to getting to Jesus. You know, there's a little bit of a desire. Who is he? What's going on? The Canaanite woman is actually told by Jesus that I only came to save the children of the lost children of the house of Israel, you know, and it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to dogs. And she's persistent, and she proves to Jesus and to us reading it and hearing it that she definitely believes. She has the faith. And we know that salvation comes by faith. Zacchaeus didn't have faith, he would not have responded to the word of the Lord. If he didn't have faith, he would not have repented and changed his ways. If he did not have faith, Jesus would not have said, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." You know, where are we in some of this? This idea, do people ever prevent us from getting close to God? Are people, other people, ever a stumbling block in our relationship with God? You know, I've heard some people say, it's people who don't come to church. I don't like to go to church because of the people, you know. They're hypocrites. You know, I know who they are. I know what they do. And I don't want to be a part of that. I can't be a part of that. We can't let other people, nobody can let other people stand in the way of our relationship to God. And that is a huge stumbling block. It's not something we can ignore or pretend isn't there. Because we have to love other people. And if we have issues with them or conflicts or offenses, we have to find ways to make it right. You know, talk about it, begin the healing process. But if we shun people and if we condemn them and call them hypocrites, then we're not doing anything toward healing. And that's what's needed for us to have a relationship with God. That's what was needed for Zacchaeus today, to have a relationship with God, to be called a son of Abraham. In other words, an inheritor of the promise, right? He changed his ways. So whatever was going on with him earlier in this, if the Gentiles were keeping him away because he didn't want to have any part of them, he changed his mind and he changed his heart. Where are we in that? You know, do we ever think that we don't want to be involved in the church because of the people that are there? Remember, we can't get to heaven alone. And I've said this before, but there's a French philosopher with a saying that says, "Hell is other people." You know, l'enfer c'est l'autre. That was his thing. But we as Christians take the opposite. You know, heaven is other people. There's no heaven if there's not community, if there's not two or three gathered together in his name. There is no heaven. The only thing we do as solitary individuals is find ourselves condemned. You know, We have to be in relation to other people because that's what the gospel teaches us. It teaches us that we have to feed the hungry. We have to love the neighbor. You know, we can't look down on other people or condemn them. We shouldn't be surprised that there are hypocrites coming to church, that there are sinners coming to church, because we ourselves are among them. You know, we should say, I know I'm a hypocrite, I know I'm a sinner, and yet I'm here because I want to change. Hopefully that's why we're all here. We can learn a valuable lesson from Zacchaeus today. Wherever he was early on, he changed. He heard the word of God and he responded to it joyfully. He responded to it joyfully. These things are hard to do with people. It's hard for people to change. We probably all know that. It was hard for the Canaanite woman that we'll hear about next week to be persistent with Jesus and convince him that she is a believer and she is in need of salvation. She is also a son of Abraham, as it were. These things are difficult. And we hear about them as we approach the great season of Lent, you know, that time where God is preparing us to be whom he wants us to be, the person he created us to be. That's a difficult process too, no doubt about it. But it can happen. It can happen and it should happen. It's hard to come to all the services during Lent, isn't it? You know, to make the time, precious time. We're always concerned about our schedules. There's no time. There's all sorts of time. That's all we have. What we choose to do with it is the question. So it's hard to make the services, right? But it's not impossible. It's difficult to fast. And when I say fast, I mean the modified way we do it. We just cut out certain foods from our diet. You know, we don't maybe eat cheese and meats and fish and things like that. But it's hard to do, but if we want to be formed in God's image the way he intended us to be and what he created us for, we'll exert the effort, you know. We will give. We will exercise the tools that God and the church has given us so that we can grow closer to him. So today we're at Zacchaeus. We're at the gospel that sort of heralds in our mind that Great Lent is coming up. The Priodion is about to begin in 2 weeks. Let us keep in mind these things. Remember that salvation is for everybody, right? No matter what our station in life, no matter where we are or were, you know, God is calling us. It's his will that all men should be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we should never look down on other people or condemn them for what they are or what they were, but rather pray that they would change. And you know, and first prayer should be for ourselves, that I would change, that God would allow me to change my heart so that I may be considered a son of Abraham, just like Zacchaeus. So we hear this, and as we prepare for Great Lent, let our ascetic efforts be fruitful. You know, we want to use the tools and we want them to help build us up into the image of God. If we use them correctly and with guidance and sincerity, they will help us. They will help build us into the person God intends for us to be. That means don't just cut out food from your diet, but pray more. You know, have compassion in your heart. Dedicate your time that's so precious to the worship of the church. Love other people and give to the poor. And manifest your belief in God and your love for him in concrete acts to other people. So this is where we are, brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank God for the word today and for the gathering together around his word and around his body and blood in the Eucharist. May he strengthen us. May he allow us to be built up by these words and to use the tools he is about to place before us in the holy season of Great Lent as it approaches. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everlasting.